Welcome to a new episode of the Rookie and the Vet podcast. We are doing our best to social distance, so we are doing this podcast from a Zoom call today, which probably a lot of people are in this day and age right now as we continue to deal with COVID-19. Nick, how have you been, man? I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, I miss you, man. It's been rough, but I've been trying to be as productive as I can with the little resources that I have right now, but, you know, just trying to stay positive and keep a good mental state.
Yeah, I've just kind of been doing the same thing, you know, trying to find ways to virtually do what I would normally do in person. I mean, this is a prime example of that. Normally, you and I would be in the Rookie and the Vet podcast studio doing our recording of this, and now we're in the virtual studio. I'm sure that Zoom is probably happy that all of us are having to do this. We have a guest on our podcast today, which is somebody I met through, believe it or not, a Zoom call. And we have a few things in common as far as some professional aspects that we're involved in together. And so I'm going to bring on Shannon Jones as our guest today. And Shannon, if you would, first of all, just kind of tell us a little bit about your professional background, and then we'll kind of get into today's topic after that.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me this morning. Very excited to be here. Wish I could be with you in the studio in Florida, but I am in my kitchen in Nashville, Tennessee. So very different than a normal day, but here we are. Everybody's days are different than a normal day right now.
So. Very true.
I started in the event and meetings industry about 10 years ago. I started as a banquet captain for a restaurant where I was waiting tables and trying to figure out what was next. And I ended up at Margaritaville as a sales and events coordinator. From there, I went to open another restaurant where I was a sales manager in that position. Then I went to a private golf club where I was director of events. And then about 4.5 years ago, I got the job I am in now as a meeting and event planner with a law firm.
With a law firm, that's interesting. How many meetings and events do y'all do? That's kind of actually interesting.
Yeah, we do a few hundred meetings and events a year. Actually, we do a lot. And that is typically everyone's reaction when I say, yeah, I'm a meeting planner for a law firm. They say, I didn't think a law firm would need somebody like that. And honestly, I didn't really either until I started interviewing. So we do a lot of client development kind of events, a lot of continuing education, a lot of sponsored event or sponsorship events for conferences and things that we are a sponsor of. Those are really fun because you get to work with a whole different group of people and a lot of client development and appreciation events as well.
I was almost kind of hoping you were still at Margaritaville.
Right.
Fun place for all of us to get together at.
I still know my people there, so I can still get
Sweet.
There. Yeah.
Perfect.
My boss always used to tell me that one of the sales tactics was to match what your client would order if you were like hosting them for a lunch or a dinner. So I would always tell my clients that it was perfectly okay to have a margarita.
So it is kind of funny to think about that, because, you know, we're in the event space through a DJ company. Nick does video. He also does some DJing for our company as well. So the minute that we think about meetings, I think we always think about events that involve entertainment, and realizing that there's this whole segment of meetings and events that happen that never even have the components that we provide, either by design or just by, you know, not even maybe even thinking about how those could add an impact to those meetings.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of our meetings are very audio visual heavy. There's a lot of content involved. There's a lot of learning. So it's a lot of, you know, classroom style rooms and talking head presentations. However, attorneys know how to have a good time. So we do throw some events that do require the entertainment aspect as well. Definitely your services come into play, and all different other services that you would not probably equate to a law firm from the start.
And that's the neat thing about being involved in organizations like MPI, which, you know, that's how we basically met each other, Meeting Planners International, for those of you who are not familiar with the acronym MPI. We had actually met each other on a Zoom call. My local chapter kind of does a happy hour Zoom call, if you will, every Wednesday. And Shannon joined on that call. And through the conversation in that call, that's kind of how we connected with each other. And that's kind of how we came up with the idea of bringing Shannon on to the podcast, because the topic topic that came up in our conversation, which we'll talk about a little bit here in the next segment, really just kind of resonated with me, because I think right now we're definitely in a position where we're all dealing with things we've never had to deal with. We're all dealing with circumstances that we've never had to deal with, and we're all almost basically adapting on the fly. And so it doesn't matter whether you're the CEO of a business, or whether you're a manager of the business, or whether you're a meeting planner of the business, or whether you just work within the business, you're having to find new ways to do things. And I think the conversation today is going to be very important for anybody and everybody in that regard.
Definitely. I think that's one thing I left out of my background, is that I have been on the board of directors for MPI Tennessee. I'm currently in my 7th year on the board, and I am current president of the chapter. So being involved in a group of people in a volunteer role as a leader right now has been a really big challenge, just trying to navigate through waters that nobody's ever navigated through before. And so being a leader in today's world is different than being a leader 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago.
It is like really fresh still, you know what I mean? Like, think about it. Like, when you consider being on the job, like being on the job of this new virtual environment and this new social distancing environment, none of us have even been on the job for 6 months yet. So we can't even have our evaluation yet, whether we're doing well or not.
Right. Absolutely.
But one thing I will say is that I think a lot of people have adapted really well. Like, I mean, like even this podcast we're doing right now, like how easily we were able to, thanks to technology, we've been really able to adapt to it. And I think a lot of people have found workarounds for a lot of the things. And I think this is going to change kind of how we work and interact with each other once this is all said and done, for sure.
I think so too. I agree with you, Nick. Like David had mentioned, MPI in Florida, they started these happy hours and they invited me to jump on, and never probably would they have started the happy hours, and really never would I have been invited from Tennessee to jump on one if we hadn't found ways to connect before that. And then I met David and Nick and many others, and now have great relationships. So there's a lot of silver lining in the new normal. There's been a blessing there too.
Definitely.
You know, I think you see a lot of marketing about the point now. And I think it's a very valid point about social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. And I think we're beginning to realize that in social distancing, we're realizing how much we really need human connection. And we realize that social media is great, but we still need that interaction. And I can even consider this physical interaction, even though we can't hug or shake hands or anything at all like that, but we can still see each other. We can still laugh and smile and you know, sometimes even cry because of emotions and things like that. But we have the ability to do that together in this environment. And I think it's beginning to show us all that, you know, we really do need this, and we really do need to take advantage of the opportunity to just spend time with people, even if you can't physically do that.
Yeah, we've rallied against the word social distancing, because I feel like we're being more social than sometimes we ever have been. We like to call it more physical distancing than social distancing. So we're trying to use those words in my little group of friends. Anyway.
I think that's a great point. Physical distancing. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, guys, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into our topic with Shannon today. I'm really excited to get involved in this, so we will be right back. You're listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast.
What's going on, everyone? You're listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast. We are back. David had mentioned earlier about on the Zoom call, we were talking about servant leadership. Shannon, if you just wanted to go ahead and expand on that, we'd love to hear some of your ideas.
Yeah, definitely. The topic of leadership came up, and I've heard a lot lately the term servant leadership. And sometimes you hear things and they go kind of in and out. You're like, yeah, that's a thing. But as I started to hear it more and more, it started to dawn on me that this is how I lead. This is how I enjoy leading. This is how I have found that leading teams, leading a family. I'm married with 3 children, you know, leading MPI, leading my team at work. This is what works best for me. And so I started to say, I've heard these words, but I don't really know exactly what they mean. So I've done a little bit of research to figure out what all the different components of being a servant leader are. And there are things that are definitely near and dear to my heart. I read an article this morning, actually, that stated that how you get there matters. Getting to your end goal, it's not just about results. It's about how you get there that matters. And when I start to think about that, there's a phrase that a leader in the MPI organization uses, and he says that MPI is not a head thing, it's a heart thing. And I've adopted that from him in MPI and in many other facets of my world, because again, there is always an end goal, right? Your boss gives you a project at work, your MPI, you want to hold your finances, you want to get more members, you want to do all these very tactical checklist to do things. But what if while you're getting to the end, you ruin relationships, you disappoint people, you take the heart out of it, you rush too hard, you don't enjoy it along the way? To me, at the end of that, if that was the case, the end result would be disappointing, even if it was what you wanted at the end. So for me, that's what servant leadership means, is that how you get there matters. And holding on to the relationships and the people, the friendships, the passion, the care in it all while you get there is the most important part.
It's interesting because one of the things in reference to our company, and I've always told everybody that came to our company, you know, I've always said that for me, whenever I do an interview with somebody, I'm already looking for people that somewhat resonate with the core values of our company and the core values of how I want to be as a person and how I want to be as a leader. And I always try to tell everybody that I hope that your experience here, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's 2 months, whether it's 2 years, whether it's 20 years, I hope that you leave here a better person being a part of what we're doing. Not that you're not a great person now, but I hope that the qualities that we can instill and the qualities that we can surround ourselves as an organization will help you grow as a person and not just grow as a professional.
Right. And one of the things that I read about that servant leaders have is a commitment to the growth of their people. And whether that means you're growing them so well that they expand off of your team to better and newer places. For me, I just hired a new coordinator, and I would love for her to remain with me forever, but it would make me extremely happy if she grew to the point where she was able to expand to newer and different places. That would equal success for me in the leadership role, that I have given her the tools to expand her.
That's a really selfless way of looking at that, for sure, because I know there's a lot of people and a lot of companies who would just love to selfishly keep you in the position because you're an asset to the company, and oh, we can't lose you because, you know, we'll lose productivity if we let you go and grow as a person. So that's definitely a really cool way of looking at that. And I think overall satisfaction for your employees is like tenfold if you're willing to think about the process of getting to the end goal versus like just like you said, ruining relationships, and then thinking about your overall, you know, employees' health and just well-being in that process, for sure.
And I think too that if you are that kind of leader and you show that kind of investment and care in your team, then they remain with you and find new ways to grow, maybe out of a box that you didn't really know you could grow out of inside of your own company. I've been treated that way by my leader in my company, and that is why I'm able to take those experiences and pass them down to the team that I lead, because I've been led that way. To have that example of leadership in different ways of my life has been what's taught me to be able to be a leader that way.
Sometimes I think when people work for a company, if they're maybe, you know, not, if they're not mid-level management or they're not upper level management, they don't really see the maybe the necessity or the path to being a leader. And I think that's an overlooked opportunity, because I think you can be a leader. A leader doesn't mean you're a dictator. A leader just means that you're setting an example for somebody else who's paying attention to you, who maybe feels like you're a little bit more advanced in whatever you're doing and they're doing as well, or just somebody that maybe thinks you have a little bit more knowledge than they have. So you don't have to necessarily be, again, at the mid-level or high level management to be a leader.
Right, absolutely. I was listening to a webinar the other day and somebody said something I don't think I'll ever forget. She said, lead from where you are. And that doesn't, that could mean you're the, you know, cook at the kitchen at the bottom of the payroll, but you see something going wrong, or you see someone not sanitizing the way that they should, or things like that. Take that chance to be a leader in that position and step up and talk to your manager or do whatever needs to be done there and take the chance to lead from where you are. And that's how you grow and put yourself out there to say, I take care to notice these things. I take care to care about the end product. And although I might be the newest guy on the team or the person that, you know, on this beautiful org chart you've written out falls way at the bottom, that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunities to lead. And I think that a really good leader, the person at the top of the org chart, will be appreciative of that and recognize that. And I always strive to be that leader and to make that time, because those are the most important people on the team, in my opinion.
So a question I would have for Shannon would be, so as a leader, maybe in a higher position, how do you motivate people that might be at like entry level who don't have that same motivation, who only see this maybe as a paycheck?
Yeah, I think that you have to definitely take the time to talk to them, treat them as people, ask them what goals do they want to see themselves in a year, 2 years, you know, what are they doing this for? Are they doing this job to support their family, and do they need that extra help to continue to grow to support a family, or are they doing it as an entry level right outside of college and this was the first job that they could get, so this was the first job that they took, but you know, in this they want to learn X, Y, and Z. I think it's just important to get to know your people and who you're leading and where they want to be. And you know, with MPI, I have 17 people on the board that I lead right now, and 350 members beyond those 17 people that look to me to lead and to our board to lead. And every single one of those people has a different reason for being there and a different goal at the end. And some people, they wanted to show up to one or two meetings, and that's fine. And some people want to show up, they want to meet everybody, they want to learn everything. And you have to be a hand in making that happen too. So I think it's just really important to get to know your people and know what it is they want, and then be a helping hand to get them there.
Earlier when you mentioned the organizational chart, it kind of made me think about the analogy of like a tree. And you know, when we say a tree is only as strong as its roots, and when you think of an organizational chart from that way, the deeper the roots, the stronger the tree. And again, there's all these analogies, you're only as strong as your weakest link, things like that. So I think that's the mentality that I've always tried to have, and I've always tried to teach the people that work with us. It doesn't matter to me if you're 1 week on the job or you're 15 years on the job. Sometimes in either one of those scenarios, you can become complacent, or you cannot have enough knowledge yet to do the job correctly. Or in the latter, you can have done the job so often that you become complacent in certain things that you knew and that you should be doing, and practices you should have been practicing. You kind of just forget those things, or you just kind of push them to the wayside because you found your way to do it, which sometimes can be a little bit more streamlined than it should be. So I think that thinking from the point of that org chart and saying, listen, it doesn't matter where you fall in that org chart, the business is that tree and you're part of those roots, and it's important for you to be as strong as all of the other roots.
Right. And some of the greatest changes that we've made in our MPI Tennessee chapter, or, you know, in the way I've done work at a company, or in the way I've cooked dinner, or, you know, things at home, have come from the newest guy on the team, or the, you know, the person that kind of is usually really quiet, so you never really call on them, but then all of a sudden they pipe up with this great idea and you're like, where did that come from? That's awesome. And so I think just always being accepting of what everybody has to say. I never will put myself in the place where I'm the know-it-all and it stops with me and the decision is mine to make, and it's just never how I have seen it being. successful.
We are going to be right back in just a few moments. We're talking with Shannon Jones. We're talking about servant leadership, and we'll be right back. All right, you guys, we are back on the Rookie and the Vet podcast, and we've had a great conversation with Shannon Jones. And to wrap things up today are basically the 10 keys to being a servant leader. And I think a lot of these were really cool. So Shannon, I'm going to have you, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you share those with us. And then we'll maybe pick a couple of those out and create some scenarios of being a servant leader versus not being a servant leader as it pertains to this particular key. So let's start off with number one. Let's hear what that one is.
Yeah. So the first one that was listed was listening to your employees, just taking the time to hear what they have to say, whether that pertains to the topic at hand or whether the topic goes way off or whether they just need you to listen about their bad day.
Sometimes you can find yourself in a position where you're just going 90 to nothing and you kind of act like you're listening, but you're really not. And I'll be honest with you, you know, and I think this is a part of humility to be able to say, I know I've found myself in that position. Sometimes I'll be talking to somebody, it could be a family member or it could be somebody that works with the company, and I'm, you know, multitasking, as we like to call it. And I'm scrolling through emails or I'm looking at a message on social media and I'm not really giving them my full attention. And I usually will catch myself doing that because I'm a big proponent of being a servant leader, and I know that that's not a good quality as it pertains to being a servant leader. And so I definitely try to find myself and stop that immediately when I notice it's happening.
Yeah, I've definitely found myself guilty of that, but I think it's okay too to say, you know, have a seat. I'm going to finish this email so that I can turn my chair and put this away and pay full attention to you, because it is very often that, you know, the phone rings in the middle of an email or an employee walks into your office and just starts talking and you are not ready for it. So if you can just set the tone and say, have a seat, give me 1 minute, I'm going to finish this email and then I am all yours. That sets them up to know, okay, she does want to pay attention to me. I'm just going to give her this 1 minute and then you can go on with that conversation uninterrupted.
Sometimes it's just a matter of wanting to, too. I know that I've had managers in the past who truthfully don't care. And they're just focused on selfishly kind of like what they need to get done for the day. And then, hey, if my things are checked off the box and the person above me is happy, I could care less about what's going on beneath me, too. So just caring enough to ask about what's going on.
All right, let's move on to key number two.
Key number two is empathy. Just having a little bit of that feeling when they are having a bad day or need to leave early because kid is sick at school or, you know, need to go for a doctor's appointment, something along those lines, instead of turning it around to a, woe is me, this project is never going to get done, my higher ups are going to be mad that you're not here, or whatever that could look like, having a little bit of empathy to be on the same page.
All right, number three.
Number three is healing. Just to be there as a helping, healing hand if needed.
So about four.
Number four is awareness. And all of these, if you start to really think about them, kind of tie in together, but you can separate them out a little bit. But I think being aware is one of the keys that speaks most to me. And sometimes this gets to me as a fault because I will try to be more aware of others than I am of myself, which can, my mom calls it burning the candle at both ends, which is very true a lot of the time. But just being aware of the people that you're leading, and maybe they have a situation going on in their life that they're not being very public about, but you've noticed a change in their mood or something going on that's just not right, but it's also affecting their productivity and their attitude at work, or maybe their attendance at work, and just being aware enough to stop them and see what's happening.
I think self-awareness is so important to you. You can't really be a good, solid servant leader if you're not aware of you being in a place of needing to kind of do that reset or kind of hit that mental check and say, okay, I'm not where I need to be. I can't just, you know, the old saying, fake it till you make it. I can't just fake it till I make it forever, because I'm not helping the situation by doing that.
Right. Because you have 8 hours at work where you have to be good for your team and for your company. And then you have maybe a few hours of a volunteer position, like what I do with MPI Tennessee or others. And then you come home. And then for me personally, I have a husband and three children that need dinner and bedtime and soccer practice and homework. And so if you are not self-aware, one or many of those things at some point will crumble. But you also have to be the leader that's aware enough of your teams that maybe they are crumbling as well and take a little bit of time to figure that out in them.
All right, so let's move on to number five. We're halfway there.
Yeah, number five is persuasion. And this one was defined as being a little persuasive to try and guide a conversation or a decision in one way or another while also listening to all the opinions. And your direction of persuasion could change while you're listening to the other opinions, but just, you know, being that frontline conversation and decision driver.
Number six.
Number six is conceptualization. This one was having the thought enough to not just look to tomorrow, but to look to next week and a year from now and 2 years from now. As I was reading this one and really thinking through it, we're trying to do this more so now than ever in the place, because there is no more normal and there is no more because this is how it's always been done. Those are not excuses anymore. So being conceptual and looking to the future now is more important than ever, also harder than ever because there are no answers. There's a complete redesign with no guidance. So having that key right now, I think, is very important.
You know, Nick, when he first came on working with us, that was one of the first things I tried to do with him is say, you know, hey, you know, where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Really think about those things, not just necessarily what do you want to do today or what do you want to do next week, but where do you really want to be down the road? Because you've got to start positioning yourself and you've got to start planting seeds to get there now. And if you don't even know where the direction you want to go in the first place is, then you're aimlessly just planting these seeds all over the place and not even really knowing the best garden to harvest where you want to get to and using that analogy.
I also think begin with the end in mind. If you ever read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it's a fantastic book, but I think that kind of is like the same principle, like begin with the end in mind. Like, where do you want to like be, you know, you have to think about where you want to end up before you start. And definitely David, when I came on with you, the first thing you asked me was, you know, where do you want to go? And honestly, we're taking the steps definitely to get there for sure. So it's awesome to see it in practice.
Yeah, it is kind of neat when you can lay those things out and then kind of reflect back and say, wow, we really are taking these steps and we really can see ourselves moving in that direction. So that really is cool. All right, number seven, I think we're on now, right? Number seven.
Yeah, so number seven is foresight. Just like you are able to look into the future, it's really also important to look into and learn from the past. What did we do wrong? What mistakes did we make? What could have we done better? What did we do really well? What do we want to repeat? And I wrote down while I was reading this that I think that's important both personally and professionally. So, you know, what did the company do? What did the organization do? What did your family do? What things have you done in the past as a group? But then also, what did you do as a leader or as a team member even that you could have spoken up more, or maybe you could have spoken up less? Like there's different things that may have changed the direction and you can definitely learn from those. And I know I do that a lot as a leader. That's part of every event that you plan. It's not over when the doors close. You have to go tomorrow or later that day and do a post-con, as we call them in the industry, and just say, what went really well? What didn't go well? What can we change? What will we do different next time? And I think that's really important in every situation.
All right, number eight. We're almost there.
Almost there. Eight is stewardship. So this is the management of resources. And one of the things that was said is that one of the very important things of a servant leader is to be the steward of the resources of the group. So you are the person that can take the ideas to the next level or make them happen. So take what the group comes up with and then put it into action or carry it to where it needs to be.
How about number nine?
Number nine, we talked about a little bit earlier, but it is the commitment to the growth of your people. And I do still think that this is very important to get a grasp of who your people want to be, what they want to do career-wise, and how can you help them get there? What will it take personally and professionally, and be their supporter and their cheerleader in that?
I think one of the first things that I learned in running this company when I started bringing people on board, for me, I knew that I wanted to be an entertainer basically from high school. Like, that's what I started doing. I was working at a radio station before I even graduated high school. Like, this was going to be my life. Hook or crook, didn't matter. I was going to make it work. And through doing that, I think I developed this mindset of, well, if anybody comes to me and they want to work with my company, they obviously want to do the same thing. And it was important for me to learn that that isn't necessarily the case. Some people like this type of environment and like this type of industry as kind of a side hustle. They don't really want to make it their full-time career or their full-time life, but they're willing to give a lot of commitment to it from the aspect of being a side hustle. And so for me, it really was a growth I feel in myself to be able to realize, hey, David, you really need to sit down and talk to the people and find out where they're at and find out where they want to be. And so, yeah, I think definitely in that regard, that makes so much sense.
The people that I remember most in my career, both present and past, are the people that did take that time to say, where do you want to go and how can we get you there? And I would be remiss to even have a conversation about servant leadership without bringing up a woman named Carol Norfleet, who passed last June, almost a year ago, unexpectedly from cancer. But she was my number one role model, and every dinner, every conversation, everything I had with her, always in the conversation was, how are you doing? Are you where you want to be? Are you on the way there? How can we get you there? And she didn't have to, but she wanted to, and she made the biggest impact in my life and my career. So being that person for somebody else is just really such a positive feeling. So I encourage anybody to be that mentor and to be that person for at least one other person.
Be that person when the time is right for the right person. But I think it's also important to have those type of people in your lives. Like, it's not one of those things where when you move into that position, all of a sudden you don't need somebody anymore yourself, because this growth is something that is always going to happen and always has the ability to continue to keep happening. And it's important, I think, for people to realize that when you get in a position of being able to be that individual for somebody else, again, you don't just stop finding somebody to also be there for you, because you're not going to be able to handle that burden by yourself.
Oh, yeah. No, there's always somebody that is where you want to be and want to continue to grow to. So it's always good to have those people as well.
All right, what are we on, number 9 now? I lost track.
Number 10. This is
we're already at 10. One. Man, yeah. 9 I think was maybe my favorite so far. Okay, so number 10.
Growing your people. Number 10 is building a community. And I love this. This is what MPI is and really has become for me, is my community. And my community just continues to grow and grow. You know, this podcast right here is evidence of that, with David and Nick and Liz, who is your chapter president right now. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today, and I wouldn't personally or professionally, without MPI as my community. And so I have been really fortunate to be in a leadership role and to give others the chance to continue to build their community. I hope that I am part of it, but if I am not, that is okay too. And they can go off and build their own community. Also building the community of what is our board, you know, because that has to be a really solid foundation for that board and that community to be able to take and successfully lead the bigger community. And a community was really defined not just as a team that, you know, gets together to make something happen. It's defined as a team that really can work together and gets along and enjoys being together. And when the business part shuts down, they say, all right, it's happy hour, let's go drink. You know, just building your group of people that you always can rely on in one way.
Maybe the term tribe is referenced a lot now. People say, you know, build your tribe, which I think is a very similar thought process to that. And having that tribe and having that group of people that when the good is good, you can celebrate it together. And when times are challenging, like they are right now, you can depend on each other and you can rely on each other, and you can experience both levels of emotion. And you know that you have people outside of your family, because we always should have our family that we can go to for stuff like that. But then sometimes, you know, maybe your family, especially when you work in such a specialty industry like we do, sometimes your family may not necessarily understand the struggles that you're going through. So it's great to have that community or have that tribe that you can go to and can, you know, just obviously I feel like you have to be careful not to let everybody kind of sink the Titanic, so to speak. But it's good to know that there's going to be those few people in there that are not going to be like, you know, rainbows and unicorns and shit, but they're going to kind of be like, you know, hey, we're going to get through this. We're going to find solutions. It's amazing to see what our industry has done from a solution standpoint to provide virtual opportunities to do some of the things that we were doing in person just less than, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. So that's just one example of that, of tribing up and communing together and saying, hey, how do we make this work? How do we fix this? And I think that's great. And yeah, I think being a servant leader is saying, hey, I'm going to get in this and I'm going to get involved. And sometimes all I'm going to do is listen. And other times I'm going to offer something to hopefully maybe help the situation out.
Right. Yeah. I don't know where I would be without my community. And they're not all the same. They're all very different. I have my work community, my MPI community, my, you know, family and soccer mom community. Like there are so many different communities out there, but they're all important in their different ways.
One thing I can say is that servant leadership, it was the first time I ever heard the term, but it just sounds like leadership of the people. Like it's people's leadership. Like it's just the purest form of like what a leader should be. So I've really enjoyed just taking in some of these tips and pointers and kind of thinking about how they apply to my own life, because this sounds like the type of leadership that I strive to have in my life, that I would want to be for other people. Just absolutely fantastic. So,
well, I really appreciate you guys having me today and hope that we've talked about a few things you can take back to your companies and your families and your volunteer organizations. And at the end of the day, to me, what I say is it's all about the people. And if you focus on your people and the passion is there, those people know it and they become or remain passionate about it with you.
Well, I think this definitely has been a great conversation. And Shannon, we appreciate you joining us today. We're going to make sure to put those 10 keys in the show notes so that if people want to look back on that article. And we obviously want to definitely give credit to the person who put that article together. We want to make sure we give them credit. So we'll have that in the show notes. We'll have that available for people to review. Again, Shannon, just thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to have you on again down the road and see what else we can talk about together. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So, Nick, any closing words before we get out of here today?
It's been a fantastic conversation. Shannon, again, thanks for being on. It's been awesome. Definitely some good pointers for sure.
I hope next time we can be in person in the sun in Florida. I'll make that trip for sure.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again, Shannon. Thank you for joining us. And for our listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of the Rookie and the Vet podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to sign off for now, and we'll be back real soon with another guest and another great topic to help you through your business and through your life. Thank you very much for joining us on the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Have a great day.